You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590
ABC News,
AM
I'm
Denmark.
W25
Americans CD Green Bay.
The
and always
misery.
Streaming on the
Extreme
Civic
temperatures
Media
temperatures blanketing nearly half of the U.S. now. Meanwhile, Arizona's largest city has had nearly a month of temperatures over 110 degrees. ABC's Samara Theodore.
The blistering heat leading to another 7 heat-related deaths in Phoenix, bringing the total there to at least 25 people. The Maricopa County Coroner's Office already over capacity, bringing in refrigeration units for the overflow. Now, with 29 days at or above 110 degrees in Phoenix.
Former President Trump joining more than a dozen Republican presidential candidates gathered in Des Moines, Iowa Friday for the Lincoln Dinner. With 2 indictments and another looming, Trump saying that he would keep running even if he's convicted. Excessive heat stretching from coast to coast, nearly half the U.S. population dealing with scorching temperatures now. Unrest escalating in Haiti. The State Department has ordered the evacuation of non-emergency staff and their families from the U.S. Embassy. This is ABC News. If you haven't noticed yet, the next time you fill up your gas tank, you might be surprised by the sudden increase in prices. The national average for a gallon of regular is up 15 cents in just the past week, reaching the highest price since mid-November. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
It is sticker shock all over again at the gas pump, and that heat wave sweeping much of the country is partly to blame. Persistent extreme temperatures squeezing oil refineries, preventing them from working at full capacity. Oil inventories now sitting at their lowest level in 8 years. Now add to that, OPEC intentionally holding back supply to lift prices, and it appears that that strategy is starting to work.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling for the immediate release of the ousted president of Niger, Mohamed Bazoum. The U.S. top diplomat warning his captors that hundreds of millions of dollars in assistance to the West African country are at risk. Bazoum was recently toppled in a military coup and is being held in his home. Dave Packer, ABC News.
They say the happiest cows come from Wisconsin.
You're really milking that.
We say some of the best radio does too.
This is Extra Sharp Weekends on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Gambling on U.S. House elections may be legal someday, but not if good government groups have their way. Here's Mike Moen.
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission has been asked by the trading platform Kalshi to allow such bets through so-called event contracts. They'd be limited to betting on which party will control Congress in future elections. But Stephen Spaulding of the group Common Cause says this would put even more pressure on the health of democracy in the current political environment.
This opens up a significant risk to the perception that the winners and losers of an election are not determined by voters, but by those who stand to gain financially.
Common Cause has sent a filing to the commission asking that it reject the proposal. And leadership with the House Task Force on Strengthening Democracy issued a similar request. Supporters of the idea say the forecasting could help small businesses protect their interests while benefiting researchers. But Spaulding says the world of politics is still reeling from the 2010 Citizens United ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. He says when you add gambling to the equation, big spenders could hold sway over the process in an even bigger way.
You can imagine a situation where a entity that is now able to spend money on elections post-Citizens United then places an enormous wager on the outcome of an election and also funnels resources through super PACs or other dark money vehicles to influence the outcome of an election.
Last year, Kalshi sought CFCT approval for bets to be placed on the 2022 midterms, but it ultimately withdrew its proposal when commission staff raised concerns and recommended rejecting the proposal. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Hello, folks. How we doing? It is me, Charlie, your fearless host of the Cripescast, joined by Colleen Maraca, Coco Maraca, for those of you who are friends with her.
Thanks.
Yeah. We have another episode of the Cripescast for you today. We're talking with a fella, one of my openers, one of my collaborators, one of my very, very dear friends, Andy Raffi. You might know him from some of the videos like Midwest Coming Out, First Time Camper, If Airlines Were People. Andrew has written acted in a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good dude. But really, if you're listening to this episode, you're going to get a little bit of like what it's like being coming up as a stand-up comic. There's some stories from the road, because Andrew's been to a lot of different cities for me. And, you know, we have a very, Colleen, would you say brotherly relationship?
Married couple relationship is what I would say.
Yeah. And Andrew has, he's been, you know, with me on the road since the very first tour. Aww. So, it's been quite a ride. He knows everything about me.
I was going to say, you guys were talking about like going to couples counseling or something.
He was talking about that. I'm not, he brings that up like so he's actually serious about it. I'm like, dude, get wrecked, you know?
It was so funny though, because you guys were doing a lot of you accusatory statements rather than I feel.
No, it is his fault.
You
mostly.
Guys both were going like, you. It just was really cute.
That's,
I think,
a
you guys
weird
could
observation.
Definitely probably benefit from like mediation.
What? I'm not in a relationship with Andrew. It's a working relationship.
It just would be interesting to see like what the findings would be.
Oh, the findings would not be good for either
toxic.
Of us. We have a very toxic relationship, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
it's also funny that I've noticed that a lot of your like your openers are Andy and Bill, and then you have your brothers Andy and Bill.
Oh, that's true. Oh my gosh.
So anytime I mean John is your brother and your opener. So
that's true. Maybe it's just I didn't even notice that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But anyway.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
That's good. That's a good observation.
But so, other than that, I saw on, I don't know if you were there, Bridget put a story of you guys' family reunion getting rained out.
Yeah.
Were you there for that?
I was. Yeah. We had our family reunion, the Barron's family reunion in Fond du Lac, in North Fond du Lac. It was a park with a gazebo, which had a hole in the roof. And no sooner than we started did the rain come.
Really?
Yeah, washed out the, my dad put a duct tape pickleball court up, you know.
Oh, fun.
So someone had a net, so we took duct tape and lined it out, washed away the duct tape.
Oh,
so
no. Wow.
But what happened was there were a bunch of kids there, and they had one of the noodle squirt guns where you dip a noodle in,
yeah,
suck it up, and then spray. And I got in on that battle, but as soon as the rain came, it left all these puddles, and those kids just, I mean, it was like a water park. Every
so
puddle
fun.
They were sucking up the water.
Oh, just so muddy,
getting some pebbles in there too. those things turned into pellet guns pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people got soaked. But it was great. My grandma Sue planned this thing with the help of my aunts and uncles on that side. And,
how many were there of you?
Man, I don't know. There's probably 100 people. there really was. I mean, that's a family of 7. And then, my folks had 12 and Chris has, I forget how many he's got, 5, something like that.
It's a good amount.
3. Everyone's got kids. And then there's my grandma's great grandkids there. They were the ones out there shooting the water and the pebbles, but it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
We had a good time.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then we went afterwards. We went fishing on the dock, on Lake Winnebago for a little bit. So anyway, great one. Folks, hey, we got these brand new shirts, Team Pop, Team Soda. Whether you say soda, whether you say pop, you can get those shirts on ManitowocMinute.com. Of course, you can get there, too, by going to KrebsCast.com, clicking on the merch section.
And one more thing, too. Your mom does a great job with the site, and she comes up with a lot of great bundles. And so right now, we have a book bundle. You get the Midwest Survival Guide book, bottle opener, and a koozie for $30. So if you go to ManitowocMinute.com, click on the book section. It has, I think it's like all the miscellaneous stuff that we got. Yep. Click there. You can get bundles and stuff like that. It's good for people going to college. It's good for wedding gift. It's good for a birthday gift, whatever. But yeah, we have a lot of great bundles. So awesome. Check that out. Yeah.
And I'm on tour. Click on the tour section and we'll see you on the road. All right, folks. Well, that's about it for now. Why don't we get to my conversation with my good buddy, Andy Raffi. Hey, folks, welcome to another episode of the Cripes Cast. I am here with my
best friend,
colleague, Andrew Raffi, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope you're pronouncing that right.
What?
Nothing.
Your last name?
Yeah.
Did I not pronounce
it? No, you did.
Did I not pronounce your name
no,
right?
No, you did.
You know what's funny is I had Laura Clary on my podcast, and I mispronounced her name.
What'd you say?
Cleary.
It's Clary?
It's Clary. That's a tough one, though, because I just always pronounced her name wrong. I guess it was terrible. Terrible of me. Anyways, this isn't about that.
I'll tell you something about Laura Clary. Clary?
Clary.
At 4th of July, my cousin came up to me and said, I really like that video Charlie did with that girl who was an Uber driver. And I think that you did. So that had nothing to do with me. So.
No, in all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give Andrew Raffi a very good intro. Andrew Raffi and I have known each other since the beginning of sort of the Manitowoc Mint days. We've been collaborators. You've probably seen some of our movies, including If Airlines Were People, Midwest Coming Out. We did First Time Camper.
Dating.
If Dated, yep.
Ghosted Hunters.
We did a lot of videos. Woo woo.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, and you've been
Midwest
on the road.
Spelling Bee.
Yep. Well, you, I think, wrote that one.
You don't have to tell people that,
you
Charlie.
You literally just did.
I said we collaborated.
Okay. What do they think? Okay. I saw that. I punched it up. And you've come on the road with me. You've been on the road with me very early on. 6 years. 6 years ago now, you lied to me and said you were a producer, and I believed you. So I let you produce my first set of shows.
That's not what happened.
And then you came on the road with me doing that. You kept like kind of wanting to get on stage.
Yes.
You know, and you would do it to like kind of warm up the crowd and say, are you ready? You know, rah, rah, kind of a thing. And you came off, I remember the stage in Manitowoc after doing that. And you're like, that was exhilarating.
Yeah.
And you always had really good jokes. You're always a great writer. I mean, I think even early on, you initially reached out to get me to like hawk some of your t-shirts or something.
That's correct. I had a t-shirt company that thankfully someone bought out, because it's better to be lucky than good. I ran that thing into the ground. Boy, oh boy. Don't do drugs, kids. I wanted you to wear this one t-shirt, and
I said I would, and
you never did.
I never did because
I had just come off of a movie as a writer. I don't think I ever said I was a producer. I don't... I don't do those kind of films, Charlie. But yeah,
erotic,
exactly.
And well, anyway, I eventually said you should try stand up yourself. You resisted it for probably a couple years.
For like a year, yeah. But
then you eventually got on stage, and it's been great. It's been how has it been? Because there are actually a lot of stand up comedians that listen to this show. At least I get messages from them, and they always tend to like, you know, when I ask comedians sort of the ropes, you know, and since you started recently, relatively recently,
5 years, yeah,
I guess it's not really not recent anymore.
The pandemic, yeah,
but you know, comedy is weird. It takes a long, long time. I mean, I'm fairly new to stand-up comedy, really, in the
very
long
new
scheme of things. Okay. 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 What? Nobody laughs at your jokes harder than you.
Well, only
you
when, know what? Yeah, that's true. I was a very lonely child.
I love the way you laugh at your jokes, Andrew. I'm just kidding.
It's mean-spirited. I know. I'm sorry.
What's mean-spirited?
That, well, I only kind of when they're mean jokes.
Oh, that was the joke that you were laughing at.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. I've got some mean-spirited jokes.
I want to hear them. Believe me, I wish you had more of them.
Andrew and I have a very interesting relationship, which maybe you'll get a sense of in this podcast. I'm kind of all over the place, but point one is I do want to talk about like what it takes to get into stand-up comedy, because you know you've been close to that, and then also like, you know, just shoot the breeze.
Well, I first off have suggested my friends JT and Chad, who are a comedy duo, they have gone to couples therapy, and I have suggested we do that, which you have been resistant to.
Yeah, I'm resistant to that. Why would I like our dysfunctional relationship?
I like it too, but it scares other people.
Here's how Andrew and I work. Typically, he goes, I came up with a great idea. I'm like, awesome. And then he sends me the idea, and I'm like, eh, it's okay. And then you get really mad at me over the phone. And I tell you what I don't like about it. And then usually I'm driving. Usually I pick up your phone calls when I'm driving because I know you're going to keep me on there for a while.
That's right.
And so I want to give you that time, but I don't want to spend all that time not doing something else. If that makes
sense.
I'll
write a script. You know what? You often have very good notes. You do.
I'm glad this is on the record.
No, I've always said that you have very good notes. Like, for example, Colleen has good notes, too.
No, I'm not saying it because of that. You just keep going.
Okay.
Colleen does not have good notes. Is a camera recording, yeah. Just out of curiosity. Okay. Is a camera recording.
It's good. Okay.
I'm asking that honestly, but mostly because I can't believe he's saying this on camera, but also.
Yeah, the recording. Red light on it means it's off.
I can't see the light from here, Andrew. Do you see? I mean, folks, do you see the kind
of... I can't see the light, period, because I just hit my head on the ceiling. I may have a concussion.
You and Joe Thomas also did it.
Really?
Yeah.
We probably don't have anything more in common than that, but I appreciate that's the one thing we have.
I bet he hit his head significantly farther up than
he's
where you
hit your head.
He's a
lot tougher of a guy than me, Charlie.
Taller, too.
I'm sure. No, you gave great notes of airlines where people was an okay video. You gave a bunch of notes. And it's like on social media, like 25 million views. It's one of the bigger ones. The biggest one we've done.
Is it?
Yeah. So, all right. So you asked me how I got into stand up. Well, I mean, I had been writing jokes or in comedy in some way or another for a lot of my life. I went.
You can look at me, by the way, during this podcast. You don't have to look at that camera because
I'm cheating out.
Nobody cares. The camera is for like Spotify and YouTube, and nobody, even when people are watching it, they're not, I don't think they want you to look at them the whole time. I want to have a personal connection with you during this.
That's a first.
Okay, again, you talked right to the camera.
I know, I did that as a joke.
It's so for your jokes,
yeah,
your punchlines?
Yeah, it was a callback to the camera.
You'll cheat to the camera?
Yeah, God, people must think I'm annoying.
You're a Bears fan.
I am, absolutely. Why am I a Bears fan? Because I suffer, because I'm sick. Because I have a lot of emotional problems and because I like the losers.
I like going to a Bears. We went to a Bears game
last
year.
I actually don't like going to Bears games with you. I did that once and it was a 3-hour meet and greet.
Yeah.
And it was freezing cold and they lost when they were winning all game. and they lost. It was that end around play.
Oh, I was so. Yeah. Wow. I'm just remembering that, soaking it in. I was hungover that morning. Very hungover, from what I recall. And the cold really got me back to baseline. And also the whiskey in the hot chocolate. Yeah.
I don't want people to think that you have a drinking problem. Like,
oh my
from
God.
My experience, no, like from my experience, you only get drunk on days that end in Y.
Yeah, you know what? I gave you a pity laugh on that one.
All right.
Andrew, first of all, why do all your jokes have to be at my expense?
I'm very jealous of what you have. I'm sucking in so hard right now. If I have trouble
breathing. Let it go.
No.
Just let it go.
Are you kidding me? No.
Again,
I've worked so hard to be less fat.
Andrew, you look great.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I've got longer t-shirts. I've been shamed. I used to wear very, I'd say overly tight or short shirts that were kind of short. And I went and bought longer t-shirts. Yeah. So that's it.
Well, it looks good on you. I like maroon. You got the V-neck. Are V-necks coming back?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You guys are matching.
We are matching. I'm wearing my Team Pop shirt, which you can get on mandwalkman.com, made in the USA. We have Team Soda and Team Pop, so whichever one you say, you can buy. You like that? Yeah. Are you? He says soda.
I'm both.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you. Got more respect.
Smart. Does some of this get edited?
Oh, yeah. This is all edited.
Yeah. They'll edit it out if it sounds bad.
I feel like this is going terrible for me.
What?
Okay, it's going okay.
It's fine. Right. We're just having a conversation. Right. We are going to shoot the breeze.
This is not my first time on the Cripes Cast, although to get me on.
Here we go.
I know. I'm appreciative that you asked me on, but I do know that your eighth cousin's gardener's friend canceled. And Billy Deuce couldn't come on for the fourth time. So you asked me, and that was so nice of you.
I did ask you. Yeah. You know what? I've asked you many times.
No, it's been an invitation. It's been like, we should get you on sometime.
Oh, no. You said you wanted to wait till you had something to promote.
I have nothing to promote.
I know, but I needed a guest. So
thank you.
All right. Called you up.
So, yes, I am a diehard Bears fan. I have been my whole life. My family's had season tickets 40, 50 years, probably.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. My grandfather used to take us to the games, and he wouldn't let us get food at the stadium because he thought it was too expensive. So we had to sneak tuna fish sandwiches into our pockets and thermoses of hot chocolate and all these different things. So I became a food smuggler at a very young age.
That's good.
Yeah.
I can see that that in a lot of the choices that you make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we're on the road.
Are you bringing up the Wendy's incident?
No.
I had just been pulled over for speeding. We had come from Peoria. I had to get you to O'Hare because you were going to London in 4 hours. Yeah. I hadn't eaten dinner.
Yeah.
I had just gotten a speeding ticket. And yeah, I did eat that Dave's Double in about 4.5 seconds.
It was impressive. I was not bringing that up for. I was bringing up the water bottle incident, but the Dave's Double. Yeah,
what's the water bottle incident?
You got that food, and I just heard oh, and I looked over and was gone.
There was 30 years of pain in that bite.
Yeah. That could be an advertisement for Seriously, Wendy's.
I would love to be. Yeah. What is the water bottle incident?
Oh, when you were on the podcast.
That's right.
So Andrew was on the podcast. We were at a bowling alley in New Hampshire. You can go back and listen to it. It's in the archives. And basically, we didn't have any guests. And we were snowed in New Hampshire somewhere. And me, Colleen, Bill Doucette, Andy Roffey, we went bowling.
Yep.
And was Dante there?
No.
No. Okay. I have a hard time remembering.
Sometimes, you got it. All right.
Who is that?
In the right city, bowling. Yeah.
So what happened with the water bottle incident?
Okay, I'll tell you. Everyone was drinking but me. I don't drink or do drugs anymore.
No follow-up questions.
Yeah, believe me. It's an anonymous reason. court ordered. No. And everyone was drinking and I was drinking like water, and I wanted to get a couple bottles of water. And Mr. 1 of 12 kids, you can drink the lake water, it's good for you, didn't like that I'd ordered some bottled water. So he was passive aggressively mentioning that he didn't think it was right that he had to pay $3 for a bottle of water.
First of all, I was kidding.
Nah, it's passive aggressive.
I was kidding to an extent, but there was also water on the table.
The tap water looked weird to me.
That's what, in fact, that still pisses me off. Uh-huh. And I'm glad that you paid for that water.
So I Venmo'd you like $10 or $12.
What do you think was going on with the tap water? We were in New
Hampshire. Just wanted a bottle. I was also sick. I wasn't
asking you to drink out of the vase of water.
I understand that, but I just wanted a bottle of water. Yeah. So, and I had come down, I got like three colds back to back to back. And I drank the bottles of water and I sent you the money, and it's the hill I'm willing to die on.
Well, I do appreciate that. I need that
money.
What'd
you do with that money?
No idea. Honestly, I forgot you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Episode 90 on YouTube. The whole video is on there.
Episode 90 on YouTube. You can check it out. Thank you, Colleen. Andrew, you've been on the road with me the longest.
6 years, yeah.
The longest anybody has been on the road with me. What's your best memory? What's your worst memory?
And you promise to put this on no matter what I say?
No, absolutely not.
No, I'm teasing. My best memory... Huh, man.
Going home at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I always go home early. My favorite memory, you know, there's probably a better one, but the one I like is coming like right off the top of my head is probably those first few shows when we were in the 14-seater van. And we had like hours to kill in between like shows. And
that was my parents' old van that they used to haul the kids around in.
Yeah. And I just think like making jokes, talking about life, like talking about comedy, like I was totally down and out when you found me. This has been a charity project for sure.
Yeah. And it has. I'm looking to see if I can get a tax write-off.
I really hope you can.
Yep.
And it was in those
cars. Also, I had no idea. I had no idea that you were down and out.
No, really. You didn't.
I thought you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't until years later I found out that just how much on the ropes you were.
Absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I
have a great judgment of people.
You are. I'm looking at the camera again. So... I think it was in those car rides that you were like, you want to be a stand-up, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, you need to go get 5 minutes and I'll give you like a couple shows or whatever. You gotta go get 5 minutes.
Yep.
Because I would just like pitch you jokes all the time, or I talk in punchlines, and I know it probably is annoying for people. I really don't know of another way to be, and so I just like always wanted to be in comedy. It was at Second City. I didn't really love sketch and improv. It was all right, when I found stand-up comedy, it was that moment where I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I was supposed to be doing this whole time.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So I think on those car rides, I think the worst moment,
something's sticking.
No, I mean, like, I would say that one of those first shows we did in Stevens Point. Where
Stevens Point, we were at Rookies in Stevens Point, and oh my lord.
The Rookies green room. Okay, it's a motel in the back of the, like behind the bar, like you walk through a parking lot, and it's very dirty and old, and your Uncle Joel was very comfortable in it. He was like sprawled out on the bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
My Uncle Joel, I don't recall him wearing a shirt for that entire time.
I agree. He may not have been.
I think he was showing his
scar.
His scar or his tattoo.
I think it was a scar. He just had some sort of surgery. I'll tell you, actually, this is a great story of Uncle Joel. I never met Uncle Joel. I just heard about him. We are unloading stuff in the Rookie's parking lot. And Joel is a sort of short, stocky, very aggressive man. And he comes walking up to me with a lot of mustard. And he goes, "Where's Charlie?" And I'm like, oh my God, it's some fan who's like trying to kill him. Like, and I didn't say, I knew where you were, but I didn't say.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm not sure. And I was like, can I help you? He's like, yeah, I'm his Uncle Joel. I was like, oh, all right. It was like, he terrified me. But then I got to know him. And now every so often I just send him very mean text messages.
Yeah.
Loves it though.
Yeah. You two kind of get off on that stuff.
Yeah. Also at Rookie's, I know this is actually the moment that has annoyed me the most, but I'm going to
say, okay,
we're doing the tech rehearsal of the show with your laptop and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're letting people in the show. So fans of yours are watching you rehearse and setting up before the show. Like, they didn't keep people out. And there was also a bartender there who I was very smitten by.
Andrew finds a bartender in every town.
I've never found anybody anywhere, and nothing happened. I was just smitten.
You were smitten by the fella. Now, let me say this.
Did you just out me?
What's that?
Did you just out me on the Craigslist?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You said fella.
Well, they know you're gay.
Do they? I haven't told my parents yet.
Yeah. We did a video called Midwest Coming Out.
That's true. And I just want anyone to know who watched that video. I was wearing a fat suit for that. I wasn't really that heavy. I was like Brendan Fraser in The Whale. I was also playing a very overweight gay man who couldn't get laid. But for that video, I did it before him.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. More Americans are sharing the heat misery. Extreme temperatures blanketing nearly half of the U.S. now. Meanwhile, Arizona's largest city has had nearly a month of temperatures over 110 degrees. ABC Samara Theodore.
The blistering heat leading to another 7 heat-related deaths in Phoenix, bringing the total there to at least 25 people. The Maricopa County Coroner's Office already over capacity, bringing in refrigeration units for the overflow. Now, with 29 days at or above 110 degrees in Phoenix.
Former President Trump joining more than a dozen Republican presidential candidates gathered in Des Moines, Iowa Friday for the Lincoln Dinner. With two indictments and another looming, Trump saying that he would keep running even if he's convicted. Excessive heat stretching from coast to coast, nearly half the U.S. population dealing with scorching temperatures now. Unrest escalating in Haiti. The State Department has ordered the evacuation of non-emergency staff and their families from the U.S. Embassy. This is ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens. You are listening to the Cripes Cast, and this is a conversation with my good buddy and comedian, Andrew Roffey.
So I've said my favorite and least favorite memories, and I think it's only fair that we get to know what's your favorite memory on the road with me and something that you didn't enjoy as much.
Oh, God. What should I start with?
Least favorite.
Here's my favorite memory is that Andrew, I think, was helping out with merch one show, and I was walking this, I think was in Manitowoc, and I was walking out to the lobby before the show. We were setting up the merch and all that. My siblings were there. My mom was there, and like my sisters are all walking in with like a box of merch, like a big tub of merch, and Andrew comes in, like, my mom's got a box, my sister's got a box, my other sister's got a box, and Andrew comes in holding one of their purses.
Really? I don't remember that.
I have this distinct visual memory. It could have just been a dream.
It could have happened. I thought you were going to say was after we had like 9 shows and one night at the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
What happened there?
No, and you had so much merch, and your Uncle Joel showed up an hour late, so I'm trying to set it up all, and I had one of my spoiled brat temper tantrums, which I haven't had a few, and I was just like, you have to come out here and help me. So, because you did come out, because all of it was very disorganized and thrown together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but you know, the thing with working with you, and what's your least favorite?
That was both.
Okay, boy, you got off the hook easy.
No, we got a lot of good memories. I'll think of them too as we keep going. What were you gonna say?
So no, I want to just briefly share of how this came to be the creative partnership. I was in Los Angeles and I wanted you to wear this t-shirt. I had a t-shirt company, and you said sure. And I just worked on a movie as a writer. And like a month later, this was right after your first ever Manitowoc Minute, and we were both living in LA, and you came over. And I was like sharing ideas with you. I can't even believe you came over. Like, you just agreed to it. That was amazing.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know what that was about.
I really don't know either.
Yeah.
And we would hang out. I would like send you ideas or voice messages about like jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
You came over one afternoon and was like, hey, I'm doing a couple shows. Like, they're setting up this tour around Wisconsin. He goes, I need someone to come on the road and produce it. And Do you want to do it? And I remember in my head being like, oh, you have to tell him no. You don't know how to do that. You don't ruin this guy's career.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, nope, you have to say yes and figure it out because you're not doing anything. And so somehow I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Anything, whatever you need.
I really wish I could read your thoughts.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean.
And I didn't. And we were meeting with some agents one time before the tour. And this agent was like, why is Andrew going on the road with you? And I looked at you and I was like, yeah, why am I?
What did I say?
You said because he has funny jokes and ideas. And
You do have funny jokes and ideas. Really, that's all it takes, honestly.
I guess so.
You know, that's the most important thing, thankfully, because there wasn't a whole lot else going on.
Yeah, but I, you know, it was like, you know, starting at the bottom of like, you know, errands and selling merch and you know, helping run things backstage or whatever need to be taken care of. Like it was really like learning how to really work hard. And I was older but it was like a lesson on being accountable and working really hard and doing things you didn't want to do, which is stuff I hadn't really done for most of my life.
Yeah, yeah. That is a very interesting dynamic between us because we were both raised quite a bit different.
Yes. I'm not one of 12 or Irish Catholic.
Right.
Yeah.
You are one of
three.
Three, yeah. And you are Jewish.
You don't have to out me again. Charlie, this is going on the internet.
You outed me as being Catholic.
Yes. Jewish. From suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know,
but Jews and Catholics were very similar.
A lot of guilt.
A lot.
I think we united around the guilt.
Absolutely did.
How does your guilt manifest itself today?
People pleasing.
Yeah, you're a people pleaser. That is news to me. When are you going to start pleasing this person?
How many times have I said I liked your videos when I really didn't?
Oh.
No, it's that like.
That's fair. No, I like your videos. And I don't even watch them sometimes.
Believe me, I know that. I think, if a video or whatever doesn't do as well, I take a lot of the blame for that or.
One of our videos?
Yeah.
You take the blame for that?
Absolutely.
How do you people please for other people? Just generally speaking, let's find the ways. You know what I do? I've got the reactionary yes.
Oh, I know.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you've taken, you know it, and you take advantage of it.
I take advantage of it less than everybody else.
I don't know. You are in the middle of the pack.
Do you know that I can name all of your siblings?
Do it.
It took me a long time, but I used to stay up at night when I couldn't sleep, and I would just try and name all of them, and I can do it now.
You know what? I believe you. Here's a bigger question, though. Here's a bigger question. When it comes to like comedy and all this sort of stuff, how are you making it as a comedian today? You know what I mean? Like
with you.
No, but for people who are trying to figure out like how this whole internet thing works, like what's sort of the formula that you're going after? Because you are building your stuff, and you just had a couple really great videos that got, you know, that really popped off for
you.
You know,
view videos. Yeah.
Yeah, not that anyone's counting the views every day, every time they open up their phone.
The phone never closes.
Yeah. But what is, so like, you know, and I do say this again, because there are comedians who are calling up trying to figure out the pathway. So what is the pathway you've chosen to do it, and how is that working out for you?
All right. Can I be sentimental? I tried being sentimental once with Charlie in Austin, Texas, and he said, we're Irish Catholic. We sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
I was telling him how I cried watching a movie on my flight to Austin, Texas. And he was like, I am not ready to hear that.
I was trying to focus on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why'd you cry?
because I think it had just a nice message of positivity and body positivity. And Rory Scovel was on.
Rory?
Yeah, he was on your podcast.
On the great dude.
Good, way better than this one.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I wouldn't say way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. All right. So my what I tell, because I actually do have I've had a bunch of people who are trying to get into comedy ask me what I do. And honestly, the truth is, like, you're probably the best teacher that I've ever had when it comes to comedy. I know.
Wow.
Everything you've told me to do, what you've done, I have been resistant to some of it, but whenever I've done it, it has worked. Like, I, you know, what I have in comedy, a lot of it is because of the things that you've done are like, here's what works. And what I tell people who are trying to get into comedy is you got to go to mics. You can't just like sit there and do it like for your friends or in your, you know, your bedroom by yourself. You've got to start with 5 good minutes. Like, I'd say don't bite off too much too soon. Like, people have been doing comedy a month. They're like, yeah, I'm working on my hour. I'm like, what do you mean your hour? You probably don't have 3 minutes. And the game has changed. And, like, you know, I've said this a bunch. Like, the guys like you and Trevor Wallace and guys who didn't wait for the Comedy Store to make them, like, regular, to make them official members of that club. You guys, and I say cutting the line, there is no line anymore, but there isn't a better metaphor I have. So basically, you guys cut the line. You were like, no, I'm not waiting 20 years, you know, going on at 1 a.m. the way it used to be done. What you guys did is you made your own content. You worked for your own following, and you became what you did is, like, you and Trevor, you guys became undeniable. That is the word. You just, your audience and your brand of comedy, you were forced clubs to put you on. And I saw that model, and it's one of the reasons I left LA and moved back to Chicago. I was just like, I don't need to be here anymore. And it's also like, I live in a beautiful place in Chicago, and like in LA, it would have been like a shack next to the airport. And I was just like, I'm going to go make my own brand of comedy, find my own audience. And then, you know, if I'm lucky enough where I amass such a following that clubs are going to have to put me on. I mean, not have to, but like they're going to see. And the thing with your following that has really been good for you is that you were a stand-up before all of this stuff was going on. So it's not like, you know, you had all these videos hit and then they were like, come do these shows. Like, you were working on material where it's like, I tell people who like become TikTok famous or whatever, which is great. But it's like, if you have 2 million followers, but you have 3 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes of material and a club books you and it doesn't go well, they're not going to book you again. I mean, unless you just continue to sell so many tickets that, you know, the club is able to sell so many drinks and chicken fingers and whatnot. But the brand and the model that a bunch of you really brought into this world is the model that works now, which is make your own following, make your own path. Like, I have a lot of peace knowing that, like, it's on me to make this happen. It's not about, like, what clubs are booking me or not booking me. Like, if I continue to amass followers and people like my content, there's going to be more opportunities.
Yeah, I do think that is a nice thing about comedy. I mean, I've talked about it on here before, but, you know, before I was doing this sort of thing, I was, like, out there trying to get auditions, doing commercial auditions. I sucked at auditioning. You go in there nervous. You're not really showing your best stuff. You know, you're not really showing like what you can write at all. You're just saying lines someone else wrote. So that's, and I think, you know, both you and I are writers at kind of the heart of it all. So it's nice when we can kind of, you know, it seems like a cheat code almost to be able to write your own stuff and perform that and put that out there. And then that's kind of your best foot forward.
And look, there's nothing wrong with being like, it is an incredible accomplishment to be a paid regular at the Comedy Store.
Oh, yeah.
Or in New York at, what's it called?
Comedy Cellar.
Comedy Cellar. Yeah. I hit my head earlier. I might have a concussion. I'm not.
Yeah, I heard you like bellowing about that.
Yeah, I really. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. But a lot of those people cannot sell tickets the way you sell tickets. So it's like, yeah, being like, you know, there are like guys at the Comedy Store who can, you know, maybe do a couple of gigs here and there at small clubs. But what you did was like you play theaters across the country or you play very big clubs and you didn't wait around for the point, I guess, long story short, is you did not wait around for other people to make it happen for you. You made it happen for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and there's been a lot of people helping along the way, you know, like you, Andrew, you helped along the way. Cutting this out of the podcast. Yeah. If you could give your younger self a little piece of advice, comedy-wise, career-wise, life-wise, what would it be?
Work really, really hard and expect nothing from anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of, there is a lot of truth. And you will get stuff from people. You will get a helping hand. Someone will
hold the ladder.
Absolutely.
I mean, I, you know, had many people help me up, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm not making these videos, if I'm not working on jokes, if I'm not going to clubs, like it is, no one is handing this to me. This business is so cutthroat and the fail rate is like, feels like almost 95-100%. And so I would, like what I tell, you know, a lot of younger comics is just like work really, really hard. Always be writing. I write almost every day if I'm not rewriting every single day.
Yeah.
Be open to criticism.
You should do what Andrew does when he gets criticism. You should argue why the person giving you any sort of advice is wrong for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then hang up the phone.
I don't hang up on you.
Well, you never say goodbye.
You get in line. That's just me.
Yeah. I'll be like, all right, man, I'll talk to you later.
I'm going to start saying I love you.
All right. I'd rather you just say nothing.
Okay.
But no, I'm teasing a little bit, but not about the I love you thing, but about the fact that like you really do take whatever it is. And it's hard because I know it's hard because every time you give me stuff that I know is true, I do the same thing to you. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is fine, whatever. And then 15 minutes later, I try the thing you're talking about. I'm like, damn it, he was right.
I agree. No, I think because when I have, I'd say in the last year, when I have tried the suggestion of other people and then it's gone well, like immediately, I think now I'm way more open to feedback from like other comedians. Like, and honestly, sometimes it takes like six different people. Like you've told me this up so many times. My buddy Sam Tripoli, who I do shows with sometimes, I got off stage and I was like, how do you think it went? He went, dude, you were funny. But he goes, why don't you look at the audience? And I was like, my buddy Charlie says that to me all the time. And he goes, next time, because we had two shows that night, he goes, on the later show, he goes, you got to look at the audience. He's like, you have to do that. I'm like, okay. And I started looking at the audience and it was like such a huge difference. So that like was an immediate thing. And it was just from a place of like a little more insecurity of like really like owning the jokes, like if they didn't work, like, And so I just now like really, he also says like, I was a little bit too rehearsed, which is something you also said. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why do you sound like a gay robot when you're on stage? And I was just like, what do you mean? He's like, it sounds like you've memorized these jokes. And I'm like, I have. He's like, you got to have a conversation with the audience. And so that was a bit ago. And I was like, all right. And I just like, you know, but I am the guy who like has to be told, or in the past had been told like 100 times before I finally was able to really take it and then put that into some kind of action.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have that too, where we, I don't know what it is about thinking like you know, now I don't know what that is. We're hesitant and resistant to listen to feedback. And honestly, you know, it's like you will be taken care of in this world if you just like relax, you know, and just open yourself up to like sort of what the world presents to you.
Yeah.
You know, the universe.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought of my favorite memory.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
It was like a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
We were doing 2 shows in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And the second show, you have a lot of kids who come to your shows.
I do.
Which I, for one, have always said that's the one thing missing from the art form of comedy is having having more children in the audience.
Yeah.
But no, it's because you have, you know, your big YouTube following and Instagram and TikTok. And there are a lot of kids. And you know, as a gay comedian, I do jokes about my life trying to understand gay culture, which I'm not like. I have like this one joke I do about how I'm like a training wheels gay for homophobes. Mm-hmm. Like I love sports. I'm politically moderate. I support our troops. Like maybe the drag queen is a little bit too hard of a first reach, but like I'm like you could get to know me and then you could get to know the drag queen. Like I'm like on that like gateway into homosexuality. I'm not trying to recruit your kids. It's not pride season. But yeah. Something, I'll tell you another thing you taught me. It was never my dream to be a clean comic. I kind of despised clean comedy. Thought it was really, really hacky. I went on the road with you. I saw how quickly you amassed such a following and how whenever I'd watch your shows, I was like, he didn't really need to swear or do anything super political or sexually graphic. And I started going to these mics where like all these like straight white guys trying to be Anthony Jeselnik would just say the most disgusting things for shock value. I was like, this is awful. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe like I'm just so rebellious with everything. I was like, I'm going to do the complete opposite of that. And there aren't a lot of very clean gay comics. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go that route. I started way later on in life. Like this is a faster way to get on TV, to get more people to see you. And I genuinely love that. Like I don't use any of those tropes. But we're doing the show in Cedar Rapids. There are a bunch of kids there. And I remember being like, I can't do gay material. There are a bunch of kids there. And you were just like, do it. You have to do it. Like, and you know, the thing is like, you always have every right to be like, hey man, like these are my shows. Like my audience might not be cool with this. You've always been like, do your thing. Like I don't censor yourself. Like always go and do your jokes. Who cares what the audience says? And so I was like, all right, okay, I guess. And I went up on stage and, it was like such an explosion of like laughter and it was so great. And after the show, there were these 2 trans kids in the audience who were like so excited that a gay person was like on stage and one like, and they were like, it was like they were, their dad had said like, you know, it's like the first time they'd see them smile in like months. And it was very, very surprising. And it, you know, totally on my part, like having contempt prior to investigation that they wouldn't like me. And there have been a couple times it shows.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
ABC News, I'm Dave.